कुंज जाय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना बाला भा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जना बालाभा गिरिवर धारी गिरिवर धारी जसोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जसोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जामुन थीरा बनाचारी जामुन थीरा बनाचारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जाय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना बाला गिरिवर धारी गिरिवर धारी गोपी जना बाला गिरिवर धारी गिरिवर धारी Jasoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Jamuna Thira Vanachari Jamuna Thira Vanachari राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जाय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी Pad Paramahamsa Hari Vedika Charaja Ashtatara Sata Sisi Mad His Divine Grace Sisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Samveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Natai Gaur Premanandi Glorious to the Assembled Devotees Glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is text 2. From chapter 56, canto 10, Shamantaka Jewel. Shri Rajavacha, Satrajita Kim Akarod, Brahman Krishnasya Kirbishaha Shamanta Kakutas Tasya Kasmat Datta Sutta Harehe Shri Rajovacha Satrajita Kim Akarod Brahman Krishnasya Kirbishaha Shamanta Kakutas Tasya Kasmat Datta Sutta Harehe. Satrajita Kim Akarod Kraman Krishna Shakir Bishaha Samanta Kakutas Tasya Satrajita Kim Akarod work with the children. So we just say children, and we say boys and girls. Children.
They know what to do.
Go team. Okay. Shri Raja, the king, Parikshit Maharaj, Uvacha, said, Satrajita, Satrajit, Kim, what? Akarot, committed. Brahman, O Brahmana, Krishnasya. Against Lord Krishna. Kilbishaha. Offense. Shamantakaha. The Shamantaka jewel. Kutaha. From where? Tasya. His. Kasmat. Why? Datta. Given. Sutta. His daughter. Harehe. To Lord Hari. Translation, Maharaj Parikshit inquired, O Brahmana, what did King Satrajit do to offend Lord Krishna? Where did he get the Shamantaka jewel? And why did he give his daughter to the Supreme Lord? No purport. So this is just the beginning of a whole string of verses narrating the Shamantaka jewel story. And there's no purports. And I'm supposed to speak on a group of verses that have no purports. So we're finished with the chanting of the verses part, kids. That's over. Huh? Okay. Excuse me. So this question is answered in the whole chapter. So it's inviting the narration rather than saying, oh, tell the Shamantaka jewel story. It's specific. There's three specific questions, and then the chapter addresses those questions. What was done by Satrajit to offend Lord Krishna? Where did the Shyamataka jewel come from? And why did he give his daughter in marriage to Lord Krishna? Of course, why not? But the previous verse is the first verse of the chapter. Shukadeva Goswami said, having offended Lord Krishna, Satrajit tried as best he could to atone by presenting him, Krishna, with his daughter and the Shamantaka jewel. So now we'll just read through verse 9. That's what's been assigned to me. Shukadeva Goswami said, Surya, the sun god, felt great affection for his devotee, Satrajit. Acting as his greatest friend, the demigod gave him the jewel called Shamantaka as a token of his satisfaction. Wearing the jewel on his neck, Satrajit entered Dwaraka. He shone as brightly as the sun itself, O king, and thus he went unrecognized because of the jewel's effulgence. As people looked at Satrajit from a distance, his brilliance blinded them. They presumed he was the sun god, Surya, and went to tell Lord Krishna, who at the time was playing dice. It doesn't say why he was playing dice, just playing dice. The residents of Dwarka said, obeisances unto you, O Narayana, O holder of the conch, disc, and club, O lotus-eyed Damodar, O Govinda, O cherished descendant of Yadu, Lord Savita, that's a name for the sun god, has come to see you, O Lord of the universe. He is blinding everyone's eyes with his intensely effulgent rays. The most exalted demigods in the three worlds are certainly anxious to seek you out, O Lord, now that you have hidden yourself amongst the Yadu dynasty. Thus the unborn sun god has come to see you here. And then the last verse for this morning. Shukadeva Goswami continued, hearing these innocent words, the lotus-eyed Lord smiled broadly and said, this is not the sun god, Ravi, That's another name for the sun god. But rather, Satrajit, who is glowing because of his jewel. I was thinking three things to especially focus on this morning. One is the jewel, because that's one of the questions. Where did it come from? Of course, ultimately, where does everything come from? Krishna. However, Krishna empowers others so that it appears that things come from them. And it's for this reason, according to what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that some persons worship the demigods, like Satrajit is worshiping Surya. He was a great devotee of Surya. He would spend hours every day chanting prayers to Surya, offering valuable items to Surya. He was a fired up Surya Bhakta. Every day. He was a king. But he was really into worshiping the sun god. But it wasn't out of devotion. You know what devotion is. Anyavi lashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam. That's what devotion is. Where there isn't some interest in jnana or karma, he was interested for sure. He wanted what Surya has to offer. And those that worship Surya, they want what he... That's what demigod... Approach to the demigods is because they're known for bestowing some particular benediction, and Surya benediction is health and wealth. So Surya, being very pleased, very, very pleased by Satrajit, he came in person. The sun god himself came in person before the king, and with palm extended, he offered him this Shamantaka jewel. And he said, I know your heart. You please me very much. I'm going to satisfy your heart's desire. Here it is. This will fulfill this. You worship this Shamantaka jewel nicely. And every day, 170 pounds of gold. Let's see. This boy in the checkered shirt or jacket here? Yes, you. Do you know how much you weigh? 83. So if we took two of your weight at least, not two of you, that's how much gold every day. Every day. Every day. 170 pounds. More than two of you. And health and no irregularity of weather and, you know, like I heard it was 80 degrees the other day, and or a few days ago, now it's 40. That's irregularity. It's, you know, you haven't been worshipping Shamantaka Jewel very nicely. And Satrajit said, oh, how did you know? Exactly what I want. Money. And health. And you're very kind. So this can be a problem. Not only can be a problem, it's practically guaranteed. Practically guaranteed. When one gains some prosperity through pious activity, whatever it may be, in this particular case, it's worship of the demigods. And worship of the demigods, we know from Bhagavad Gita, it leads to the higher planets. It leads to the mode of goodness. those who worship the demigods attain the planets of the demigods. That's it's a higher region than this place. And there's a problem. I mean, there's always a problem. Any place in the material world, there's a problem. But here's a little equation that I've learned in Krishna consciousness. Fruits of piety plus an unclean heart equals pride. Write it down, it's a good one to remember. Fruits of piety plus a heart that's not pure equals pride. Man was a tragic, proud. He put this jewel on a chain, special chain, I'm sure, and went prancing into Dwarka. He was so proud, he didn't even acknowledge Krishna. He just went right past Krishna's palace. He didn't live in Dwarka. His kingdom was outside Dwarka, but he wanted people to like check him out. So he went to Dwarka. And the jewel was so effulgent. So effulgent, they thought it was the sun. People were blinded by just like watching the sun come walking down the street. So I thought I would discuss a little bit about the jewel. So the jewel, when Prabhupada writes about it in Krishna book, and so they did the same thing in the Bhagavatam, it's with a capital S, Shamantaka jewel. Not with a small s. Just like, you know, the Surya and Ravi and this other Savita. These are all names of a person, so they're with a capital letter. And Shamantaka jewel is, like, very special. And so, one of the... I'm just going to go to Brahma Samhita for a moment, because when you were all chanting, I'm speaking now to the school kids here, it reminded me of when I was in Seattle this past Thanksgiving weekend. I gave a seminar on Brahma Samhita, and the kids knew it was coming, so they've memorized Brahma Samhita, and they were like hollering the verses out. It was really wonderful. They were a group of like five kids. They were drowning out the rest of the whole audience because they were like really into it, chanting Brahma Samhita. So you kids were pretty good this morning too. These prayers of Brahma Samhita, it's a wonderful composition, something that Srila Prabhupada said. I mean, there's many things he said about it, but it's something that he wanted that his disciples, his followers, enter into the spirit of this hymn as a regular daily function. So you remember that recording that Prabhupada made. And so the first verse starts, let's see if you guys know this. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Many of you know the verse. So that first line, Ishvara Parama Krishna, has 10 verses minimum, like in a row, where it's expanding on that one verse. What's that one verse saying? Of all Ishvaras, that's controllers. Ishvara means controller. Krishna is the controller of those controllers. He's Parama amongst them. And who is that? Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna. So there's 10 verses. that are detailing person after person after person. First it starts with their abodes. And Goloka is above all the other abodes. Goloka namni nijadamni tale chatasya devi maheshu hari dhamasu teshu teshu te te prabhava niyatashvi hitashchayena govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Trying to make this relatable for kids, it's, you know, I'm trying. So, there's Devi Dham, that's where we are, where Durga Devi, she's in charge. And above that is Mahesh Dham, the abode of Mahesh, that's Lord Shiva. And then above that is Hari Dham, the Vaikuntha realm, the abode of Hari or Narayana. If you remember, the residents of Dwarka, the first name that they used when they spoke to Krishna is, "Oh, Lord Narayana." And then above that dham is Goloka Dham. And then one by one, starts with Devi, it starts with Durga, then it's Lord Shiva, and then it's various demigods. And they're identified as the power that they have is derived from Ishwara Parama. Who's that? Krishna, for sure. So there's mention when this is Lord Brahma speaking about Lord Brahma in... the page went away. Yasyaika nishvasita kalavatavalambhya jivanti loma vidaja jagadandanatha vishnur mahansiha yasya kalavishesho govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. That's describing Lord Brahma and the other personalities that are appearing in this world. They're expansions from Lord Govinda. And the very next verse, Vasvanya tankshma sakaleshu nirjeshu teja sviyam kiyat prakari tad tad vidad vadatra brahma ya esha jagadanda vidana karta Govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. In that verse, it speaks of jewels, because this is the Shamantaka jewel. This is speaking of jewels, Ashma Sakaleshu. Ashma Sakaleshu means in various precious stones. Like the Shamantaka jewel is not an earthly, it's a heavenly jewel. But there are earthly jewels that's mentioned in this verse. Surya Kanta. What does Surya mean? The sun. Surya Kanta gem is a gem that somehow it gathers the light of the sun and then it stores the light of the sun and it emanates light. You know, sometimes you may see a jewel and you put it in the light and it sparkles. But there's another kind of jewel, you don't even have to hold it in the light. It sparkles because it's absorbed the light of the sun. That's the Surya Kanta gem. Same as the Shamataka gem. Because it comes from the sun god, it has the same brilliance as the light of the sun. So, Satrajit was going, wow. Look at this. Boom, boom. And then even the people of Dwarka, when they saw Satrajit coming into Dwarka. They thought, wow, that's the sun god. But Krishna knew, no, it's not the sun god. It's Satrajit wearing a jewel. So whether it's Satrajit wearing a jewel, or the jewel, or the sun, the verse from Brahma Samhita says, yata means it's a comparison. Have you in school learned about metaphor and simile yet?
Yes.
Okay. So metaphor means something that you don't know is compared to something that you know. Like, here's a nice example. At night, Prabhupada gives this example. You see the moon in the sky and you want to show to your friend, where's the moon in the sky? You see, look, there's the branches of the tree and right in between that branch and that branch, there's the moon in the sky. Well, the moon is not in the branches of the tree. The moon is in the sky. But to see where is the moon, it's that way, in between the branches. So something that you know may indicate something that you don't know. So you say, like this, as that. Yata tata in Sanskrit. Little Sanskrit lesson. So something that's known, that's a Suryakanta jewel, or a Shamantaka jewel, there's brilliant light. But where does that brilliant light come from? It comes from the light source. It comes from the sun. It's not effulgent on its own, the Shamantaka jewel or the Suryakanta jewel. The verse is saying, so similarly, Brahma. Who is Lord Brahma? Yes?
The creator of this world.
Very good. So where does he get the ability to create from?
Krishna.
Krishna. Okay. You're all right. It's every one of you. Krishna. So, okay. So, you get the comparison? As the jewel derives its light from the sun, so Brahma derives his power from Krishna, because Krishna is the Ishwara Parama. He's the Ishwara Parama. Now, some people don't like that. As, you know, people take birth in this material world because they don't like that. Icha dvesha samutena dvandava mohena bharata. Dvandava means duality. Two. Mohena means bewildered. Bewildered by the duality of material existence. What's that material existence? Seeing things separate from its source. The reality is that the energy of the sun and the sun are inseparable. But then there are people that say, no, there's the Shamantaka jewel, and it's valuable unto itself. That's what Satrajit thought anyways. And as a result, forgetting, this is important, if you forget Krishna, then you see things as separate from Krishna, and you see them as valuable unto themselves. Those of you, now this is for the adults, one of the Chaturshloki verses of the Bhagavatam is exactly on this point, which says, when one sees something as having value, the word is artha, sees something having value unto itself, know that to be my illusory potency. We'll say it backwards. Krishna's illusory potency is permitting us or covering us so that we see something as having value unto itself, not in relation to Krishna, just unto itself. We covet or we wish to be the enjoyer of something separate from Krishna, know that to be my illusory potency. And we'll say the opposite. Nothing has value unto itself. What's the Shyamataka jewel? Mine is Krishna. Well, it's Maya. It has a deluding potency. And Satrajit was deluded. Big time, Satrajit was deluded. Okay. One down and two to go, huh? This is a Tuesday morning ritual. Huh?
This is over the smoking space, so I have to leave.
Okay. Thanks for coming, kids. I go. Now, the rest of you can do the same thing, or are you going to stay for the whole class? Stay for the whole class. Are you following so far? Have I lost any of you? You're with me? Okay, good. A major lesson of this story is illustrating a major lesson of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is, we are to see things in relation to Krishna. And when you see things in relation to Krishna, you utilize those things in relation to Krishna, because they're Krishna's. They're not only in relation to Krishna, they're His. Can you name something that is not connected to Krishna? Answer, nope. Or here's another way of saying the same thing. Prabhupada once said, there's two things. There's Krishna, and there's Krishna's. And there's not a third thing. And then he said, there's no such thing as void in the creation of God. Because what does void mean? There's nothing. So it's, but it, there's no such thing as nothing. It's either Krishna or Krishna's. Even, you know, where there's apparently nothing, there's something. It's Krishna's energy. It's one of Krishna's energies. Like, you know, I remember in my eighth grade science class, and this is, it's for the kids, but the adults can appreciate it also. I remember the science teacher put on his desk a bell jar. What's a bell jar? Real thick glass, and he turned it upside down and sealed it on the table, and then got a vacuum pump. It was really loud, and pumped everything out of the bell jar. So then his question was, what's inside? And we're supposed to say nothing. It's a vacuum. He created a vacuum inside the bell jar. Now, I hadn't studied Bhagavad Gita. I hadn't met a devotee. Hadn't met Prabhupada. So I didn't, you know, I went along with the program. Yeah, there's nothing. But there's something. That there's no solids. There's no water vapor, no liquids. There's no air. But there's another something. It's Akash, or space. And that's an energy of Krishna, my dear science teacher. That's what's inside. And so there's either Krishna or Krishna's. And there's no such thing as a third thing. However, some people, not only science teachers in eighth grade science, but some people believe, and they live their lives this way, that things do exist disconnected from God. Well, when you think like that, then you've got a problem. Satrajit ended up with a big problem. And it was the result of pride. And behind other people's, you know, people of the world's problems, there's this issue of misidentification with stuff having its existence separate from God. And then since it doesn't belong to him, I'll try to make it mine. And that's the material program. You enter into this world owning nothing. You leave the world owning nothing. And in between, trying to make so many things mine. And then you die and you own nothing. So actually, you own nothing. And Satrajit wanted something. So he worshipped the sun god. The sun god derives his power. That's another, it's the implication of the same verse as Brahma derives his power from Ishvara Parama, Krishna. So the sun god derives his power from Ishvara Parama, Krishna. There's a verse in Brahma Samhita dedicated to expressing that, about the power of the sun. Some persons worship the sun, like Satrajit. And they think, you know, there's a whole philosophy that, you know, there's without the sun, there's no life. So what happens, what would happen if the sun disappeared? Or, like, it went out. It's like, it doesn't go out, but if what would happen? We'd all die. Everything would die. Plants would die, birds would die, fish would die. We'd die. It's over. So he's sustaining life. So some worship the sun as the supreme. However, the sun derives his power from Ishvara Parama Krishna. One last thing, looking at the clock. In the somewhere here in these verses. Text number 8 reads, the most exalted demigods, this is the residents of Dwarka speaking to Krishna, the most exalted demigods in the three worlds are certainly anxious to seek you out, O Lord, now that you have hidden yourself among the Yadu dynasty. Thus the unborn sun god has come to see you here. Question. Is the sun eternal or temporary? Who can say? I'll ask the question in a different way. Before the universe comes into being, is there a sun? And then does the universe kind of wraps around the sun? Or the universe comes into being and a sun is produced? Is the universe eternal? No. It's okay, that was good. And the sun is created after the universe is created, yes or no? Yes. So the sun is not eternal, correct? Yes. So here it speaks of the sun as the unborn sun god. What does that mean? Well, those of you that are a little familiar with Nectar of Devotion, you know that the living entities, well, Krishna has 64 qualities. Of course, he's unlimited, but 64 qualities. And then 50 of those 64 qualities are possessed by the living entities, but in a small degree, not the full degree that Krishna has. And then there's another 5 qualities that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva have. Lord Shiva has even a greater proportion or percentage or amount of those additional 5 qualities that the living entities don't have. So, one of those qualities is Sachit Ananda Vigraha, a body made of eternality, knowledge, and bliss. Question, is Brahma's body eternal? No. So why would it say Satchitananda bodies? Answer, it's partial. Like Surya, he lasts for as long as the universe lasts. That's a long time. 311,041,000,000,000 years. Like, that's a lot of zeros. That's a big number. The sun lasts for a long time. So long, it's like Brahma. So long that for us, it's like eternal. It's like unborn, but stillborn. So Krishna is different. He's literally unborn. He has no beginning, like the universe has a beginning. Unlike the universe, Krishna has no beginning. He's the anadir, adir Govinda. He has no beginning, but he's the beginning of everything else. So the sun god is not eternal, and whatever he can give is also not eternal. He can't give something he doesn't have. Brahma was unable to give eternal life to Hiranyakashipu, although he really wanted immortality. Brahma said, I'm sorry. I can't give you something I don't have. I also have to die. I can't give you eternal life. What does that mean, practically speaking? Anything that anyone can get from the demigods, they may get this or that or the other something. But this or that or the other something is all temporary. And temporary means now you see it, now you don't. Why would somebody that's thoughtful, why would they want something that's temporary? Answer, they wouldn't. Well, unless it's something that can be for some time used in Krishna service, just like this is a nice, very nice temple room, very, very wonderful deities. So we use these things in Krishna service. And there's interest because it's in relation to Krishna, but apart from Krishna, there's no interest. The problem, so we'll just end with this, the problem with Satrajit is he didn't see like that. He was attached. He worshipped Surya because he wanted something limited and temporary. He got the something limited and temporary. He didn't want to let go of it. But guess what? He had to let go of it. It was not only the jewel was given back to Krishna, finally, at the end of the story, he gave the jewel to Krishna. Krishna gave it back to him because he knew Satrajit didn't want to give it to him. It wasn't out of devotion. You keep the jewel. I'll take your daughter. To be continued. Any discussion? Yes.
Just for the sake of clarification, you were saying things which have no connection with Krishna have have no value.
I did not exactly the language that I used. Seeing things separate from Krishna is Maya. That's what I said. Seeing things as having their existence and value separate from Krishna is the Krishna says, or Vishnu says, to Lord Brahma. That's my illusory potency. That's what I said.
Okay, well that in part clarifies. But for further clarification, if you took, for example, a substance like ghee, just for example, which has so many valuable properties, are we saying our philosophy is that ghee, it has no value?
It has value in relation to Krishna, otherwise it's illusion. The value that one may see in it is illusory. It's a now you see it, now you don't see it value.
Okay.
I can elaborate if you want. Then you can try to shoot holes through the message. just like here's the Bhagavatam and Prabhupada elaborating. The value that we may see has no more value than the value in a dream. In a dream, I may be dreaming myself to be eating ghee. or sitting on a king's throne or whatever it is. And then the dream is over. And there was actually no throne, there was actually no... Because it's... Now you see it, now you don't. Temporary. Real value is sat. In Bhaktisiddhanta's language, substantial. Or in the Bhagavatam's language, substance and category. And that which is of this world, it's impermanent. There's no substance. It's not sat. It's asat. So, is there value in a dream, or is there reality in a shadow? That's you're starting your question. What's our philosophy? Our philosophy is not in relation to Krishna. Like gold. Exactly, that's the example that's given in that Bhagavatam, the Chaturshloki verse. The gold standard, that holds its value. So that has, in and of itself, it has value. That's illusion. Go ahead. Disagree with me, it's fine.
Just an unrelated other question, simple.
Okay.
In order to understand... To help us understand that there's no such thing as a void, can you explain what the properties of Akash are?
The properties?
Yeah. I mean, what is its function? What is its characteristics? Otherwise, people will say, Akash, well, Akash means nothing.
Well, of the Panchabhuta, the five gross elements, is the most subtle. And it's that in which everything else rests, like Krishna gives the example in 9th chapter Bhagavad Gita, where as a mighty wind blows, it's blowing within something. It's Akash is that in which the other four elements rest. It's the subtlest of the five elements, in which the other four elements, grosser in nature, rest and find their support. What are its properties? To answer that, I would want to go look at what Kapila Dev says and Prabhupada writes in his purports about the unfolding of material creation specifically.
So if you took away, the question would be, if you took away those four elements,
yeah.
And what is it exactly that remains?
Yeah, I got it. That's your question. It's the support from which you can put in things. And like, you know, the vacuum that was created by my eighth grade science class inside the bell jar. There's no, what is it? It's space. It's an element, a subtle material element of the Supreme Lord. And one may remove those other four grosser elements. And what's left? It's space. It's another, the subtlest of those five. I don't know how to describe it otherwise. Like, so if you would allow me, I'll look it up and we'll discuss it tomorrow in class and see what Lord Kapila says about it, unless somebody else wants to add something on this. Anything else?
Hari Bol Maharaj, very nice class. Somewhere I heard, I thought it was from a devotee, that just like how that jewel gives off light, the concept was projected to the sun globe also, whereby the sun globe is like something cool and it gives off light. I mean, I don't know, have you read that anywhere or heard that anywhere? I mean, but I thought, I read it somewhere already.
What's the something that you read? Say it again.
That the sun globe,
it's fire.
Cool. Yeah,
No. The Prabhupada spoke of the moon as being cool flame. I was on a morning walk with Prabhupada and he was in a certain mood, is saying that the scientists make these proposals and we're supposed to accept them. Well, I'll tell you, I'll make my proposal and you see if you can defeat it. I say the moon has cool flames. Then he tilted his head back and said, defeat me. He said, from fire comes light. And so, since the moon gives off light, it has fire. But because the light that comes from the moon is cool, therefore it's cool flames. Defeat me. No one wanted to defeat him. But it was, you know, I didn't take it. Maybe he meant it otherwise. But I didn't take it that he was actually wanting us to have the conviction the sun, the moon has cool flames. Rather, I took it that he was saying, this is the way of modern science because they have a degree or some title after their name, PhD or whatever it is. They get away with just saying whatever they want to say, and then we're supposed to be challenged to defeat it. Okay, I'll do the same thing. So I heard that in relation to the moon having cool flames, but the sun is the other kind of flames, the hot ones. Okay?
Maharaj.
Yes.
Very nice class. Nice to see you.
You want to speak something about, you know, the qualities of Prakash? Because see, this devotee wants to know. Huh? Akash.
Well, what I remember, Maharaj, that in the third canto, Prabhupada mentioned that pradhan, where the variety is not visible, is void. It's where the variety origin seed form is there, but not no agitation, nothing visible. It is not like a void where there is nothing really exist. It is there.
Now, just, no, the question is not what is void. Or the semblance of void. The specific, would you like to address a specific question? What is Akash? Not what, you know, what it isn't. What is it? That's what you want to know. You have any information, or we'll just
in 12th canto Bhagavatam explains that if you heat up, burn the earthly elements, where all the Akash, even the quality of all the four elements in the earth, and how the transformation return back from the earth to the water, and the quality is being merged, and then water to the sky, fire, the fire to the sound, and the sky, and then mind, intelligence. It goes back to the origin.
It's very interesting, but you're not addressing the question. Let's do some research. And we'll come back tomorrow. So your question?
I was going to say about Samantak Jewel. I was studying on Dasami Tipponi of Sanatana Goswami Pad, where he says in the great separation, Rupa Goswami Pad emphasized that Srimati Radhika jumped in Jamuna. Everything, all the queens of Dwarka has origin in Vrindavan.
Yes.
So then the question is, where the Samantak Jewel origin in Vrindavan?
So where is the what in Vrindavan?
Samantak Jewels.
Samantaka Jewel in Vrindavan.
Everything has origin in Vrindavan.
Well, at least the persons. The
yes.
Jewel.
Also the jewels.
The jewel also.
Yes.
You're going to tell us how the
yes.
connection?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to repeat what I heard.
Okay, you repeat what you heard about. Okay.
So there Sanatana Goswami Pad writes that in great separation from the Lord, Srimati Radharani could not bear, and then she jumped in the
Jamuna,
where the sun god, who is the father of Jamuna Devi,
yeah.
So then seeing that such a beautiful transformation of Srimati Radharani actually came to a form of a baby from the transformation. And that's why the Satyabhama is. Satyabhama's origin is Srimati Radhika.
Yes.
And she had this separation causes a beautiful form of necklace called Samantuk jewels. And then she offered it to her father. And Satrajit, who is the great devotee of sun god, knowing the heart of the Satrajit, he personally came and offered to Satrajit both the daughter and the jewels. That's how Satrajit possessed both.
Well, according to the Bhagavatam, if I heard you correctly, it's two different versions of where the Shamataka jewel came from, because in the Bhagavatam, in this canto, the sun god presents to Srichajit the jewel. And then you're saying where the jewel came from before the sun god got it?
Correct.
Is, say it again?
Sun god got it from his daughter, Jamuna Devi, who found on her body, or the river form, was from the necklace, from the neck of Srimati Radhika.
Oh, isn't that nice? Where did you read this?
This is in Dasami Tippani. Sanatana Goswami Pada. Prabhupada says...
Okay. Okay. Anything else? Nice story. Okay, thank you very much. Prabhupada ki. Yeah.